Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 50, the second paragraph, beginning with In Our Personal Stories. And we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, to settle for himself. Today's readers are Mary F., the 12 steps, Jen P., the 12 traditions. And our big book readers are Julie G. in the text, Shanna C. on page 164, and Ken W.H. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Julie M., and our second hour moderator is Leah S. The share IDs for Monday, July 26th, 2026, or 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,610. That's 23,610. And a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 23,611. That's 23,611. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Mary F., a very grateful compulsive overeater calling in from Virginia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this opportunity to do service.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Jen P., grateful compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group to be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose. carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Fits an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and proceeds divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous will remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. The OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Jen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To press, share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 50, the second paragraph, beginning with, in our personal stories, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, to settle for himself. I will now ask Julie G. to begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you, Rick, for your service in moderating. I'm Julie G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania, page 50. In our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. Whether we agree with a particular approach or conception seems to make little difference. Experience has taught us that these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to share. There are times that I feel like maybe I'm not qualified to share. I have less than a year of recovery, of being on this line, but, you know, the God of my understanding puts on my heart that if I wish to be of maximum usefulness, I have to set aside my fear and my self-centeredness in worry about what other people think and just carry the message as I understand it at this point in my recovery. And so this paragraph to me does provide a powerful message of open-mindedness and inclusivity. It's a reassurance to me that this chapter even, I used to think that this chapter, We Agnostics, was written to try to convince the reader to believe, right, to come to believe that maybe we should use the word God. And there are examples of, you know, there's this or that in the, you know, we observe this or we experience this, and wouldn't that indeed be proof of God? But really what I think the gist of this paragraph to me is that it doesn't matter how others conceive of higher power. that I need not let that stand in my way, in the way of me accessing the solution that is provided in this book, this spiritual solution this kit of spiritual tools, as they say. And so it says, right, these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. And if my purpose is to be of maximum usefulness, then I want to carry the message that I have experienced a power greater than myself, as I have gained this, been given this recovery, been gifted with this recovery through the grace and mercy of that power. And I really think that the writers caution us again and again against hanging on to old ideas and prejudice. That's what I get. There are dangers and implications of this. And
it's time, Julie.
Good. Okay. Thank you. I will pass.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Julie. And before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning? Just need your name and where you're from.
Lisa C., New Jersey.
Gotcha, Lisa.
Roy C.
Roy C., gotcha. I didn't quite hear you. Who was that from? Was it Tennessee?
Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania.
Was that Suzanne M?
Yes.
From Pennsylvania?
Colleen M. from Maryland.
Colleen M. And there's still somebody from Tennessee that I didn't quite get their name. Was it Nick? Yeah, Nick. Okay, yes. Thank you, Angel. Guardian Angel. Gotcha, Nick. All right.
Are you
I'm sorry?
Gloria G. from Arkansas.
Who is this from Arkansas? Sorry, my ears are just not working.
Gloria.
Gloria. And what?
Yes.
Okay, so here's who I've got, guys, and we'll just, get it sorted out here. I've got Lisa C., Roy C., Suzanne M., Colleen M., Nick F., and Gloria. Did anybody give me their name and didn't hear me call it out? Okay, I think that's a good place to stop. And then we'll get another list of names here in a little bit. So when you introduce yourself, please remember to include your name and first letter of last name and where you're calling from. Lisa C., you are up first, followed by Roy C. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. May I be heard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you so much, everyone, for your service. Not entirely sure what I'm going to say. So many of these paragraphs have really just been so powerful for me this go-round. And I think, of course, I love certain phrases here, personal stories, wide variation, approaches and conceives of the power. And these are matters about which we need not be worried. Need not be worried. I mean, that right there could be the entire reason that I'm here, because I would like to not be worried. And the book assures me I need not be. And what better promise can there be than that? I think that, in the disease of compulsive overeating and restricting and manipulating my food, that was just really the surface level of the deeper manipulation. You know, I used to use fear as a way to manipulate myself. If I felt afraid about something, then I could guarantee that nothing bad would happen. This is the kind of magical thinking and sort of superstitious way that I would move through the world in the disease. Thinking also that if I sort of fast forwarded through every possible bad scenario, nothing was going to freak me out. Nothing was going to shock me. What a difference to actually have full faith, trust, and stability in a higher power that is within me and also outside of me, bigger than me, encompassing all. Because then, like, I don't have to think about scenarios. I'm in the hands of God. And you know, I find that sometimes even in recovery, you know, I'll get into this transactional kind of thinking. It'll slip in there, right, if I'm not vigilant, or even if I think I am. Being vigilant does not mean that I am not human. But I just laugh at myself. I'm sorry. But here's the thing, right? It'll slip in this sort of, I'm recovered, so I won't be getting cancer and I won't be having sicknesses. And I'm taking the best care of my body that I ever have. And so I'm guaranteed to live until I'm 90. All of that is lies. That's all disease, right? If everything's in God's hands, like, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Could be stuff that I think I won't like. But I think what recovery teaches me also is that everything is God, right? Which means that I need not fear even the ultimate thing of death, right? That I can really just be in today and trust that this is all that matters right now. And I really just love that I don't need to worry today. That's really what I hung on to in this paragraph. And really just continuing to have a big, wide open space for God and let that conception get bigger and bigger and bigger. Everyone's
time, Lisa.
And thank you. Everyone's welcome here. And we all have our stories and our journeys. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Roy C., you are up next, followed by Suzanne M. Go ahead, Roy.
Hi, this is Roy C., also from New Jersey, but I also enjoy Surry County, North Carolina. So welcome. And welcome, everybody, and thank you for being here. And giving me this forum to share upon. It's interesting in this reading that everybody has their own way of reaching a higher power and the decision on what that higher power is. Yesterday, I have my own way of this, and yesterday I was faced with a situation that was very troubling, and I was trying my own means to get things done, and it wasn't, and I wasn't getting anywhere with it. And I sat down, and one of the things that I use is the Serenity Prayer. And I said the Serenity Prayer, and I took a couple deep breaths, and I looked around, and I just started cleaning up what was around me, you know, and in that positive action of cleaning up the physical things that were around me, and taking a calmer attitude about things, you know, through the Serenity Prayer, I was able to find a couple of positive answers, and soon within a little while, the source of the trouble that was bothering me was taken away. And I have no idea how that happened, and I don't even want to question how it happened. What I do know is that when I said the Serenity Prayer and I took a more positive action about things changed, and changed for the better. And that was spoken, I think, in the paragraph that, you know, everybody has their own choice of what the higher power is. and has her own way of communicating power. And thanks for allowing me to share. I'll pass on.
Well, thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. All right, Suzanne M., you are up next, followed by Colleen M. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Good morning, Rick J. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Suzanne M. I'm from Warminster, Pennsylvania, gratefully recovered through God's grace and mercy only. You know, when I read this paragraph, I think about, you know, it talks about letting other people decide what their higher power is going to be. And it, for me, it brings up like yet another freedom of this program. Like, guess what? Suzanne doesn't have to make that decision. That's somebody else's decision, you know? And I've talked about in the past how my conception of God has changed throughout my lifetime. And by the grace of God, I have a very, very good relationship with him, better than ever. But like, you know, my children, you know, I'd like them to believe in God a little more, and I can't force that. All I can do is live this life and watch them see how God expresses himself through me. You know, it reminds me, like, again, freedom, like in this program, like I was talking with a sponsor yesterday, and the freedom that we make our own food plans. I know when I first came in, I thought somebody's going to tell me what I have to eat. Like, what? You know, first of all, when somebody just told me I had to write down my foods, I was like, are you insane? I don't know what I'm eating tomorrow. And I will say everything in this program that I balked at initially have all brought me the most relief. Food plans and weighing and measuring and timed meals. All of these things that I thought was not for me have turned out to be just for me. So, you know, if you're new and you're on the line, you know, here's an idea. Let's follow directions. We come here lost and hopeful that somebody can help us. So we have to put down our ego and pride and let someone help us and just follow some directions. You know, we're free to sponsor how we like, but I still, like yesterday, I needed advice from my sponsor on somebody I was sponsoring. You know, I just always have to be out looking for the help, you know. And then, of course, that intuition. Out of the blue yesterday, I became fearful of my father dying. His health's fine. Nothing's going on with him. It's just me in my head. And within minutes, a song came on the radio that pretty much said, let go. You have no control over this. It's not your worry. Leave it to me. And when I leave everything to my higher power, whom I choose to call God, everything's fine. Not always great, but it's always what I need. So I love you all. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Colleen M., you are up next, followed by Nick F. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service and everyone else doing service this morning. I'm Colleen M., recovered compulsive reader in Maryland. And I just wanted to emphasize these last couple sentences. Experience has taught us that these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. And I just love that. As a person who thought they were in charge of managing the whole entire world and fixing everyone else except for myself, this gives me a lot of peace and serenity. But I am not in charge of getting anyone's concept of a higher power. I mean, and it also helped me for myself, because when I got here, all of the concepts of the higher power that I had used in the past had fallen short, and I wanted no parts of it. And it was a long journey back to find that connection and relationship with the person I call my higher power today. And I do use the word God. But I do believe that our higher power, this is an individual process for each one of us to journey with our higher power, and it takes what it takes. It took, you know, a lot longer for me to get through and back from that journey than I wanted it to. And so I treat that with other people. So it basically tells me I can work with anyone. It doesn't matter what your concept is. What does matter is that I keep encouraging my sponsees to find that concept of a higher power that they can turn their will and life over to, because that is ultimately what got me recovered and surrendered. And I think that is the, you know, obviously this is what this book is about, that we find a God, however we conceive that God to be. So it gives me a lot of freedom today. I do trust and believe that each one of us is guided here by a power greater than ourselves. And the best thing we can do is stay open-minded to be willing to accept and find that power so that we can recover. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Colleen M. from Maryland. Nick F., you are up next, followed by Gloria. I don't know the last initial. So go ahead, Nick.
Good morning, family. My name is Nikki F. in Tennessee, and I am a supporter of Eden. Thank you, Rick, so much for your continued service, and thank you to the lady that got us started, and welcome to the newcomer. You know, like this is saying, our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in which the way we tell, each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. You know, as far as the variation goes, I feel like the variation of how we tell our story, the story itself, it is. It's so varied and it's so different, and yet it's so similar. You know, for me, being a compulsive overeater, they reached a 5X, over 500 pounds. And then also my experiences being recovered and wearing a small and a medium, but having a thinking that led me back to over 300 pounds. It's different than somebody else's story, but just because it's different, it doesn't mean it's important. And, you know, like somebody was saying, when I press star one to share, sometimes I'm elated and I'm excited and I can't wait till my name is called. And then sometimes, you know, I say, well, why would I do that? Why would I put myself through that to be all nervous and bumbling and mumbling and just trying to get out the goodness of what God has done? And the fact of the matter is that, in my experience, that, you know, this morning, instead of coming to work and warming up some oatmeal, I could have been sitting in my car eating a meal from McDonald's big enough for three or four people. And, you know, I want to show up small, and sometimes in my experience, I wish I didn't exist. And unfortunately for me, at times when I didn't want to exist, I would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the suffering that this disease has caused me, and I heard on a Cornwall meeting that this, you know, this disease, it takes my life away. And all I got is a solution. I could either go to the fix. And for me, my experience is that I've tried a fix in a drink, drug, pill, relationship. I've tried a fix in so many, even, nicotine. I've tried so many fixes. And one thing I've learned about a fix is I'm going to keep having to go to the fix. But when I'm in a solution, I can either go to the fix or I can accept the solution. And the solution gives me life. It doesn't matter that I'm scared. It doesn't matter that I don't want it sometimes. But ultimately, my life depends on being in a solution. And I'm just so grateful to be here and to hear your voice over and over again, Rick, and to be nervous over and over again, to come here, you know, this is the solution. You all are part of the solution. You all are part of my conception of my high power. And for that, I'll be eternally grateful. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. So glad you're with us. Gloria G. from Arkansas, you are up next, and we'll get some more names.
Yes, good morning, Rick. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line this morning. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just felt the need to press star one and see what comes out. I know I'm grateful today. I'm grateful for this reading because when I first came into the rooms, I was expecting, it was through another program, and I was expecting a laying on of hands or magic pill. And when I heard God was the answer, my heart sank, because even though I've always believed in God and I grew up in a very religious family and I'm still part of that religion today, I'm very active in it, I didn't think that God could or would relieve my problem, especially with food. I celebrated 20 years sober on Sunday, and you know, thinking back, it never really dawned on me to try to use the steps to cure my eating problem. And I really didn't catch this compulsive overeating until about 10 years ago. Before that, I was anorexic, bulimic, and just thin, and exercise bulimic, and anything I could think of, the diet pills, you know, to keep me thin. But then it all caught up with me, and then this January, this past January, I gained 30 pounds in 1 month, and it's like, oh my God, you know, I've got to go back to OA. So I was gone for about a year, and then I came back, and I've got a sponsor now who takes me through the book. And we read each paragraph, and she stops and she shares her experience, strength, and hope on what that paragraph means to her and how it affects her life or affected her life. And she's showing me the way I can apply the big book to my compulsive reading. And she does it in such a gentle way. She doesn't, you know, we talk every day, and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't press her program on me or anything like that. She just lets me be and lets me go through it. It's so loving. And I was just, this paragraph, I was grateful to see that no one was going to try to convince me of their God. I'm not going to try to convince you of mine, but I was glad that nobody was trying to convince me of theirs. And I call my God Heavenly Father, and every day I ask Him for His Spirit to be with me. And because this disease is coming back really powerful, and it'll jump up on me when I least expect it, and I feel that little, nope, don't do it, or hear that still small voice, and that's God's Spirit with me, I believe, you know, reminding me, hey, remember this morning you prayed for that? Well, here it is. Here's your little reminder. And, well, I'm just
time, Gloria.
I think it's your service. Okay, thank you. I passed.
Thank you, Gloria G. from Arkansas. Okay, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 50. The second paragraph, beginning with In Our Personal Stories, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with To Settle for Himself. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Shannon C.
Lisa from Oregon. Okay, I heard an Anne Marie M., a Sarah.
Sally A.
Was that a Sally A.?
Yes, Teresa.
And then was there a Sarah?
Shanna C.
Shanna C.?
Yes, Ashley S.
Mary L. from Oregon.
Who is that from Oregon?
Liz S.
Okay. So here's who I've got, guys. I've got, I think I heard a Sarah, Sally A., Amory M., Shanna C., Ashley S., Liz S. Was there a Sarah?
There was a Teresa. Teresa A. in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay.
Mary A.
Okay, I think we are probably going to need to stop here, guys. And Teresa, you're going to lead us off here. What was the first initial of your last name?
Teresa A.
All right, Teresa, go ahead and kick us off here, and followed by Sally A. And when you introduce yourself, guys, please remember to include where you're calling from. Go ahead, Teresa.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you hearing my voice. Teresa A. in Silver Spring,
Maryland. This particular paragraph, it reminded me of a prejudice that I used to have. When people used to say, you know, I'm spiritual, not religious, they used to grind my gears internally because I thought it was a cop-out. You know, I thought it was a cop-out for people to say, oh, yeah, you know, spirituality is something I do within myself, because then you don't have to engage in community, right? Then you don't have to deal with a church or a body or fellowship or anything like that. So I used to think it was a cop-out. But it's not, you know, because yes, we do engage with other people, but it is a deeply personal and individual journey. And in this paragraph, it talks about, you know, for our purpose. And what is our purpose? Our purpose is, you know, recovery from addiction. And so for this particular purpose, we do need to let people have their individual journey. But it also popped out to me that it says that, you know, this is a question for each individual to settle for himself, not by himself. So for as we continue to grow in our faith journey, and we're always growing, whether you have a brand new conception or something that you've always had, you know, how I get to it might be my own affair, but I don't have to do this on my own. I can find community. I can ask questions of somebody who might be thinking things different than I am. Like, that's how I grow. That's how I learn. I don't believe that this paragraph says that we have to be isolated in our spiritual experience. It says that we get to have one, that we get to be independent, but there is community. There is community. And someone asked me about my spiritual experience. I'm going to share openly and in great detail about what it's like. And I'm going to ask anybody else to share in detail when I approach them. Because I think that this paragraph is an example of attraction, you know, not promotion. And when we live for a higher power, that's highly attractive, and we're meant to share it. Thanks, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Teresa A. from Maryland. And Sally A., you're up next, followed by Anne-Marie M.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service to all of us. It's Sally A. And in Texas right this moment, but I am from New York. So we talked about our personal stories and in this particular paragraph, and you will find a wide variation on the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. So this is a spiritual program, and we do believe that there is a power greater than ourselves. Otherwise, we cannot be pulled from the quicksand. So I have often and pretty much always have looked at it like this. If you remember the old Cadillac hubcap, and they had, I don't know how many spokes, a lot of spokes that led to the center of the Cadillac hubcap. And I've often thought that that's what God is like for all of us, that we find our way to God, that the center of ourselves, the hole in my soul that I believe God created before I was even born and I was in my mother's womb, God created in me a hole in my soul. And that this program helps me to find and fill the hole in my soul. And the hole in my soul is that I need God. God made me to need God. And the amazing thing about this is that no matter what my struggle is in life with the food, I could go to God and say, make me willing, help me to be more willing. I can go to God with every aspect of the difficulties of being in the food or being in tough situations, and it's a fabulous gift. But this is a spiritual program, and we do need a power greater than ourselves. And the power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. That's what we need. We do need a power greater than ourselves. It goes on to say, let's look at the record. And we're going to look at the record for so many who have found abstinence from sugar and flour. And honestly, before we get to what we're eating over, there is that we become emotionally not abstinent. We become dysregulated is the word I'm thinking of, in our emotions. And that happens before we run to the food, as Nick was mentioning earlier. And so I just want to encourage you to find what you believe. You know, I bring up page 13 all the time. This is what this program requires, belief in a higher power, willingness, honesty, and humility. These are the essentials. Makes me think of underwear when I was a child, my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday underwear that I was such a perfectionist, I wanted to wear the right day. This is what we need, a belief in something. Figure out what you believe in, and you are part of the hubcap. Thanks so much for letting me share. I hope that helps.
Well, thank you, Sally A. from New York. Anne-Marie M., you are up next, followed by Shanna C. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, and through God's grace and mercy, I'm recovered from compulsive overeating and so grateful. I have some concern about the fifth edition coming out in the book, in AA, the Alcoholics Anonymous World Service is coming out with a fifth edition. And I am, just concerned that the stories, they're going to put in some new stories, that I just pray that they will be a variation in which each person, each story in the new book approaches and conceives of a power which is greater than himself. I really, am concerned about that. And I need to let that go. I'm also back from a relapse, and I'm concerned about my weight because I've put on some weight when I did that, and it's not coming off as fast as I want. And so I need to let that go as well as what the stories are going to say. Are they going to meet my approval? My weight going to meet my approval? And it's up to God. I've got to let things go and just trust that whatever's in the book, whatever my weight is, whatever my day is going to be, as long as I'm focused on God and hoping and doing His will, that things will be right. So that's about it. I'm now able to sponsor, which is really important for me. I've been told this is not 11-step, it's a 12-step program. So I'm just really grateful for that and glad to be here. So thanks so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Shanna C., you are up next, followed by Ashley S.
Good morning, Rick. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I live in the state of Tennessee, just outside of Knoxville, but I'm currently in Santa Barbara, California, as the direct result of gaining access to and believing in this power that is doing for me what I absolutely cannot do for myself. This is just one of the perks. I get to spend a mother-son trip, and it's just, it couldn't have ever happened without the power of God in my life. Thank you for your service this morning. I just absolutely was floored, and I get floored by this paragraph. In our personal stories, we find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. And it goes on and says, experience has taught us that these are matters about which for our purpose we need not be worried. We have some background noise. Someone's unmuted, but I'm drawn back to page 93, and I'm so blessed to have been given sponsors that have when they start me out in steps, they really kind of start me with the idea of the newcomer in mind. And it says on page 93, tell them exactly what happened to you. And this relates to this paragraph, you know, in our personal stories. It says, stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided that it makes sense to him. The only thing that is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. And then on 95, it says, you will be most successful with alcoholics, compulsive eaters, if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked with you. Offer him friendship and fellowship, and tell him if he wants to get well, you'll do anything to help. You know, and then what just popped in my head, and after this approach, many may pick up their beds and walk again. Now, do I want to be right, or do I want to be effective, is one of the questions that I was asked. You know, if I truly am wanting to serve the God that I have given my will and life to, you know, am I willing to go to any length to allow that passion for crusade and reform to be somewhat tempered, but yet focused and delivered in the correct way? For each individual, and be completely yielded to this power that has literally saved my soul and has saved my body, mind, spirit through this program. You know, am I all in or not? You know, so that's what's really, you know, being properly armed with the facts about myself, not just with the problem, but with the solution that has literally been the way of life that this program has offered me. And I do believe the God of my understanding provided that at my most desperate hour. And
that's time, Shanna.
Thank you, Rick. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Ashley S., you are up next, followed by Liz S. Go ahead, Ashley.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Thanks to everyone who's serving behind the scenes. My name's Ashley F. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and so much of what was on my heart and mind has really already been shared. And I think the thing that I wanted to share from my personal story is if the independence to choose had not been here, I am not sure where I would be. It's scary. It's scary for me to consider where my life would have ended up or where it would currently be. Without that freedom and, you know, the freedom to conceive and approach, how I get to that power, how I access that power, and how I think about it, what I believe about it. And the truth is, because of that independence, because of being allowed to reach out to people who clearly had something that I did not have, could not have on my own, to be able to reach out to them authentically and not have them tell me what I should or shouldn't believe and what I should or shouldn't do, was an incredible gift. I don't think my higher power could really have captured my heart and therefore, you know, my soul, my mind. Well, you know, we could talk about this in lots of different angles from a lot of different philosophies or whatever, but the point being is, I don't think God could have gotten to me in the way that he has if other fellows had not allowed me the space to tell them the truth about where I was and where I wasn't. And I think, you know, it's maybe one of the greater acts of aggression or violence to try to force that on someone and to not trust God enough to, you know, carry out that mission through us, yeah, yes. And also, like, I have to trust God enough. Yeah, and I also just want to underline what was said about, you know, it doesn't say we don't share. It does. It says we share it. We share it. We share what's true for us. And thank God for that. Thank God for the women who shared how they get there. And I have had some I have had some sidebars because I've been like, ooh, maybe, you know, I've done a lot of sponsor worshiping and what do you think? What do you do? I'll try that, you know, and all of that in the end, well, it's clearly not the end, but all of that has brought me to where I am today, and I'm thankful for it. So thank you. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Ashley S. Could you remind us where you're calling from, please?
Sure, Rick. Sorry about that. I'd already muted. Ashley F., as in Frank, and or Foxtrot, whatever. And I'm calling from Kentucky.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ashley F. from Kentucky. All right. So Liz S. and Mary A., if you'll take 2.5 minutes each, that'll work out perfectly. Liz S., you're up, followed by Mary A. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Rick. Liz S. from Oregon, recovered compulsive eater. I just spent July 4th weekend visiting my brother, who is an adamant atheist. It brought me back to where I was in my family, which were all people who denied God, denied a higher power. And it gave me an opportunity, as I sit here today, to realize how much the program has done for me. I have the opportunity to choose the way I approach my higher power, as the people in this paragraph are, you know, as they are referred to. And I also realized something as I sat here listening to the shares, and thank them all. Thank you all for sharing, and thank you, Rick, for your service. It reminded me that, yes, this program is one to get rid, or to manage, rather, I should say, to manage my addiction through action and belief. But it's not a goal in and of itself. It's a means through which I live. It's a lens through which I see things in life. And I need to use that lens outside program for me to carry the message. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. Mary A., you are up and can take us out.
All righty, then. Thank you so much, Rick, for your service, and thank you to everybody who shared. My name is Mary A. I'm calling in from Portland, Maine, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and mercy. And I was moved by the paragraphs that led up to the one that we're talking about. You know, it, two paragraphs before, they're begging us to lay aside prejudice. And then the paragraph right before this one, we looked at the human defects of people. And so here we are with the authors saying, in our personal stories, you'll find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of a power which is greater than himself. So I've got the whole back of the book. If this were 1937, 1938, right, I wouldn't necessarily have a bunch of meetings to go to. So I've got these beautiful stories in the back of the book. And my job, a sponsor once told me, when I'm reading those stories, is to pay attention to and look for the evidence of how the author describes their spiritual awakening. And then look for any parallels or ideas that would apply to my own experience. At the time, I thought I was an atheist. It turns out I didn't know the definition of atheism, but that's a whole other story. And I just love that this book gives us everything we need to recover from this fatal progressive illness. It tells us clearly that it's coming to believe in and depend on a power greater than ourselves. How we get there is up to us. It's up to me for how I get there. And I have gotten there, thank you, God. And you know, other in another place in the book, it says that it's the single most important relationship in our lives, and that is very much the truth for me today. I can't brush my teeth without my higher power on my side. And so if you're new here or if you're not sure, please just keep coming back and let the beauty and benevolence of a power greater than ourselves reveal itself to you in whatever way that's going to happen. And that's all I've got. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Mary A. from Maine. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, July 7th, 2026, is 23,613. That's 23,613. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shanna C. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, good morning. Sorry, it takes a second for me to unmute for some reason. Anyway, this is Shanna C., grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. This is page 164 out of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.